Good to see you here on Sunday morning. I hope everybody's got their vacations out of the way. Has anybody still got to go? Anyway. I hope you've had a good summer as we are coming into the fall. We're continuing today in a series that Blake has been preaching the last 2 weeks called The Heart Life. And let me just say, the older I get, and I guess I should be used to this by now, the more I'm amazed at the wickedness in man's heart, the depravity of man. There's a doctrine out there among the theologians and the Calvinist and the Arminianist and the Wesleyan that says that all believes in the depravity of the man's heart, that man needs a Savior, that our heart is wicked. And it's amazing to me, you know, it's easy to talk about ISIS over there and the wickedness of their heart, but when you see it right down the road, it's sort of shocking. Yes, yes. But we're talking about the heart life. The heart has got to be changed. Yes, it has. That wickedness, darkness, prejudice, racism, all this Ku Klux Klan, neo-Nazi, white supremacy did is an abomination to God, everyone. But us as Christians are to stand up and believe and say we love our fellow man. We're to love each other no matter the color of our skin. We have said this over and over in this church, that we believe in the unity of the body of Christ under the banner of Jesus Christ. We believe in that. We stand on that. A Christian should stand on that and preach that and believe that. Us as a church, we're going to believe that. And if I have anything to do with it, we're going to do that right here. We're going to love our fellow man. We're going to believe God. We're going to come against this wickedness of sin that's in the heart of man. It's amazing. But it takes a transformation internally to change the heart. Thank God for good legislation. Thank God for education. Thank God for the trying to do things like that. But ultimately, they may help. But ultimately, it's going to take a heart change deep in the heart of an individual to fall away and get away from hatred that's so prevalent inside of us. You know, if we don't guard our hearts, we can be full of hate. We can believe every thought that goes through our mind. Every insecurity that comes up, we can hate other people because of that. But that's not what this Bible teaches us. This Bible says you'll know them by the love that they have for one another. And so somebody who professes to know Christ but yet hates his brother is a hypocrite. And they need to change. And they need to repent. And you're starting out strong this morning. Somebody, something's got to be said sometime. You know, if you're going to live for Jesus, live for him. We're talking about the heart life today. Blake talked about the heart. He went through and shared passages on the heart is deceitfully wicked above all else. He talked about how God wants to transform our hearts and change our hearts. Go back. He did 2 weeks in a row. Go back and listen to those if you haven't. Go back to our media. Go back to GCF Church and go into the media and our archive sermons. You can hear and see him talking about what God wants to do in our hearts. But you know, for us as Christians, we can let hatred come into our lives. And let me just say this. I don't think we always just arrive. But somehow we arrive tomorrow or today. Oh, I'm walking in the perfection of Christ. There's always a growth process that needs to take place in our hearts where the Holy Spirit and the Word of God goes down deep and starts messing with us and starts dealing with some stuff down in us, whether it be racism, hatred, whether it be whatever it may be, lust, immorality. There's this, God will come into us and penetrate into our hearts, and he will deal with us if you'll let him do that. I've told somebody before, if you don't want to change, you don't want your heart to be changed, don't read the Bible. Because if you let this word get into you and permeate down inside of you, it will change you. It'll either change you or you're going to run from it. Because this word is penetrating. The Bible says there is no division between, only the word of God can divide the soul and the spirit. Only that can divide it. Only this word can go in and penetrate it. Why do you go to other countries who don't have Christianity or have other religion to dominate? And the thing they forbid is the Bible. They forbid the word of God because once this gets inside of you, it will change your life. You can't be a hate monger and have this word inside of you. So I don't care who stands up and says they're a Christian but yet hates. Don't even listen to that garbage. And you're being mean this morning. I feel mean this morning. We got to stand up for what's right and what Jesus has for us. And it takes us to change. It takes us to come and examine our hearts. As I was thinking about this sermon, as I was thinking about the heart, I couldn't help but come back to King David in the Old Testament. So he was described as a man after God's own heart. And I was inspired by a book I was reading with Charles Swindoll about this issue. And so let me read a couple of passages to you where it talked about David and talked about the kind of heart that David has. And it says here in 1 Samuel chapter 13, this is when Saul has done a series of things that have disqualified him for kingship in Israel. And Samuel the priest, who is the spiritual leader of the country, has gone to Saul and he says, Samuel said to Saul, "You have acted foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall be not endure. The Lord has sought out for himself a man after his own heart. And the Lord has appointed him as ruler over his people because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you." And he'd already picked out David. But in 1 Samuel, we actually see the moment, 16, where God actually identifies to Samuel who his anointed one is, his chosen one. And he goes in and he goes to the sons of Jesse, the 7 or 8 sons of Jesse. He has them pass in front of them. And the oldest one comes in and it says, "And when they had entered, the Lord looked at Eliab and thought, 'Surely the Lord's anointed is before him.' But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look at his appearance or the height of his stature.'" Now, listen to this very carefully. "Do not look at his appearance or the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Do I need to read that again? "Because I have rejected him, for God sees not as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Man, there's hope for all of us, isn't there? There's hope for all of us. There's two questions I'm going to attempt to answer today as we get into this. The first question is, what does a man or woman look like after... Got tongue-tied there a minute. Let me take a little sip of water here to make sure I get it right here. What does a man or woman after God's own heart look like? What are the qualities of a person whose heart is after God? Number two, how does God make us into a man or woman after God's own heart? So first off, we're going to look at what I believe the characteristic of those things are. And secondly, we're going to look at how God makes us that way, because the Lord knows we're not naturally that way. And we need Him. We need His grace. So let me pray. Jesus, we thank you for your word that's powerful. We thank you, Lord Jesus, as we study David some this morning. As we look into this more in-depthly, this Lord Jesus, help us to have ears to hear and eyes to see what you're saying to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. There's so much about David that we could say. But due to time restraints, obviously, we're talking about 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, beginning of 1 Kings. It talks about the life of David. And if you want to look at the historical context of this, think about David for a minute, for those of you who may not be as familiar with David. He was a shepherd boy out in the fields taking care of his father's sheep. And there were several times that while he was out in obscurity, out there in the shepherding, that a bear came and he killed the bear. A lion came and he killed the lion to protect the sheep. And then there was other times, there was another time that was really the most famous story of all is when he went and killed Goliath. He's out in the field. He's taking care of the sheep. His older brothers have gone to fight the Philistines. They're facing off on different sides of the valley. And it's believed at this point, back in those days, that you had to be 20 years old to be in the military. So David was at least a latter teen, probably, but he was at least less than 20. And so you had his brothers there, so he took some food. His father, Jesse, took him. He took some food, and while he's there, this teenager gets provoked in his spirit and says, who is this man that he should challenge or insult the God, the living God? And as a result, they got back to Saul and said, okay, well, you go out there, and David went out and killed him. Go read the story. I don't have time to go through all the details. But this is the context upon which we live. At some point later, Saul became very jealous of David. And for approximately 10 years or so, David is running for his life. He's running for his life, living in the wilderness with his mighty men around him and others around him. But he learned a lot of things while he was running, I'm sure. And this is the life that David is. And so as we look at this, keep in mind that David was running for his life for over 10 years before he even became the king. And it'll give you an idea of what we're talking about, the historical context. So what does it look like for a man or woman to be after God's own heart? Number one, I believe these are some qualities you'll see in David's life. Spirituality. Charles Swindoll says this, it means that you are a person whose life is in harmony with the Lord. There is a consciousness about you, a God consciousness about you. There's what is important to him is important to you. When he says go to the right, you go to the right. When he says go to the left, you go to the left. You care about obedience to God. You care about what he thinks. You don't run your life and just check in with Jesus on Sunday morning. Have a vibrant God consciousness that goes throughout your day. No matter what your career is, I know businessmen who pray over their business decisions, and women, they consult with the Lord about the tough decisions that they make, because God is intimately acquainted with all our ways, and everything you do is a ministry. It's your ministry. Your job is what God's called you to, and you're to live it that way. You care about your motives. Someone who is spiritual, who has a heart after God, you care about your motives. As an example of David, if you go back in the Psalms and you see some of the prayers that he prayed as he's pouring out his heart for God, and he cried out, vindicate me, O God, for I have walked in my integrity. Many of the things he cried out for in those moments, he cared about what God thought. He cared about the way he was perceived. When we're wrong, we admit it. So if you're after God's own heart, if you're wrong, you just admit it. All right, I screwed it up. I messed up. Forgive me. Let's not rise up in pride when we mess up. Lo and behold, all of us are going to mess up. Are you married in here today? You're messing up somewhere, sometime. You're going to offend somebody. It's just part of being married. If you're single, I'm sure you're going to offend somebody sometime. You're going to say something they don't like. You're going to argue about theology, and you're going to get upset about it. If you're talking about that, are you going to get upset about politics? God forbid. But you're going to get mad at each other. And you desire to please God in your actions. I don't believe we can work our way into heaven. I believe Jesus paid the ultimate price so that we could be saved and born again. But when you come into a relationship with Jesus, there should be a desire in your heart to please him and to live your life according to what the Word says and the mores upon which he has given us. We're not saved by that, but we should desire to do that if you're one after God's own heart. Chronicles 2, 16 through 9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his." Heart is completely his. Number two, there's a humility. God saw humility in David. You know, David was out faithfully tending to the flocks. He wasn't out trying to usurp his brothers or jump ahead of his brothers and become king. His motives were not that. It's just that his heart was so stirred by the disrespect that God was receiving from Goliath, he just spoke up. May we all speak up when God's being disrespected. In the right way, of course. In the right manner, a loving manner. He was faithful. He wasn't looking to be king. But God judges the heart. You remember, we go back to verse 16. It says, God looks not at the appearance, but he looks at the heart. There's another quote I have here. It's as if God is saying, I don't care about the slick public image business. Show me a person who has the character, and I'll give him all the image he needs. I don't require some certain temperament. I don't care if he has a lot of charisma. I don't care about the size. I don't care about an impressive track record. I care about character. A servant of God doesn't care who gets the glory. They just want the job to get done. God help me that I would be a servant of God. A servant wants people around him to look better, not look worse. And he wants them to be successful. Number three, integrity. A person who's after God's own heart will walk in integrity. Simply stated, integrity is what you are when no one is looking. When no one is looking, what are you? Who are you? And it is honesty to the core of integrity. Not cutting corners that are harmful or illegal or unethical. God, man after God's own heart. Psalm chapter 78. He also chose David his servant. And he took him from the sheepfolds and the care of the ewes with suckling lambs. He brought him to shepherd Jacob his people and Israel his inheritance. So he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them in his skillful hands. So there was an integrity that David had. You know, I don't know about you, but I look at those three things. Sometimes I'm like, I don't know if I'm walking at all these where I should be. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God that he is a grace-oriented God who will forgive us when we fall short. Lord knows I looked at those three things and said, Lord, I hope that you see me as someone who's after your own heart, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure, but go and make me who you need to make me. Change me. Because he wants us to be a man or a woman after God's own heart. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his grace. When we fall short, that he's always there for us. And he's always there to take us and change us and mold us and make us who he wants us to be. Number two, how does God make us into a man or woman after his own heart? How does he make us true servants? Number one, under this number of this second section is solitude. We're looking at David's life. David was out tending the sheep. He wasn't after being the king, as I had mentioned before. He was out in the wilderness. You know, sometimes God will take us through some wilderness moments. Anybody had a wilderness moment? I mean, a tough time in your life, basically. When I say wilderness, I mean a tough time in your life. You got some struggles going on. You got some pain going on. There's all kind of stuff that's going on in that solitude moments where God will take you through and you learn a dependency on God. You want to be a man or woman after God's own heart? Be prepared to have some solitude moments. Be prepared to get quiet before God. Take the earbuds out. Turn off the TV. Put down the video game. You guys, God forbid, go down the video game. You're going to have some solitude where you're listening to the King of Kings so that you can become what he wants you to be. We can't make ourselves this way. We can't make ourselves in our own strength, men or women after God's own heart. We got to have God come into us and change our lives. We can't do it on our own. We can't work our way hard enough to make this happen. It's going to take the Spirit of God to help us. He was out there. And before he faced Goliath, he had to face the bear. He had to face the lion. He had to face himself. When it's all quiet, you have to listen to yourself. You got to let God deal with you. Deal with me. He had to defeat himself before he could defeat Goliath. When I say that, I mean change us. Make us more like Jesus. I always advise people, please, if you can, work out a regular devotional time in your life. If not, find you a verse that you can read to yourself every day. If you got to get one of those little bread basket things, you know, take a card out or whatever you need, get you a verse that you can hold on to every day. My life is crazy, but you can meditate on a verse when you're walking around. You can think about Jesus when life is crazy, because that's when you need him the most in those times. You know, the next one is obscurity, number two. Are you going to be serving God when nobody's looking? It's like it tails off of the whole last one I talked about, where who you are when no one is around. There's going to be times of obscurity in your life. You're unknown, you're unseen, you're unappreciated, unapplauded. I'm not saying this to toot my own horn, but I've cleaned toilets around this place before. Nobody knew it. Maybe Pastor Mike knew it because we were flipping coins on who was going to do it. We didn't flip coins. I'm kidding. I tore out more walls, but you know, I didn't do it because I wanted to. There's nothing glorious or glamorous about that. There's going to be moments in your life because I don't feel appreciated. I don't feel underappreciated. But if you're seeking after God, he appreciates you. Because he comes in and deals with your motives. Because he wants you not to do things, to live in obscurity, so he can deal with you. You know, when Paul, the great apostle in the New Testament, after he got saved and had his amazing events took place in his life, and he went out preaching, he was in Acts, and then he's out of some chapters in Acts, and he doesn't pick up the story for him later because God sent him off to the desert. Somewhere between 10 to 13 years, Paul dropped out of sight. As far as the recording. But yet God was doing it in his life. So when his moment arose, he was ready to face Goliath. David had to go through the wilderness to deal with himself and the demons of hell before he was ready to step and deal with Goliath. We got to realize there's going to be moments of obscurity where we're not going to be recognized, but yet that's when God is forming and fashioning us. He's giving us the heart life, man. He's in there working, penetrating deep within who you are in your character. Number three, monotony, faithfulness. The monotony of life. The faithfulness of life. I'm sure there were times when David was out there like, I'm protecting these sheep. Nobody cares. Nobody's looking at me. But are you still faithful day in and day out? Because sometimes your rewards are going to come straight from Jesus. Sometimes you're not going to be recognized in the natural. That's just part. I wish I could tell you every time you do something great, somebody's going to acknowledge you. That's not the case. When you clean the toilets at the house, nobody's going to pat you on the back. I try to get Catherine to pat me on the back. She won't do it. Why should I, you know, what am I doing? Anyway, she's right. What is this, guys? You know, we do something around the house, like, don't you should give me some accolades. And they're like, and the wives are like, well, I do this all the time. What's your problem? Get with the program. Why is it a special privilege when you babysit? You know, what's it called, babysitting, when you do it? I don't know. I think it's, anyway, I don't know what, anyway, I'm wrong. I admit it. I'm showing my spirituality by saying I'm wrong. Admitting it for everybody. He's a molder of our hearts. He's a molder of our lives, of our hearts. The day in, the day out. These three things, this is how God makes us who he wants us to be. This obscurity, this monotony of life, this faithfulness of life, this is why, this is how God does it. This is how he makes us into that, the solitude, the listening, the dealings of God. I hope that those of you who serve in this church, I hope you feel appreciated. I appreciate you so much. I might not get a chance to go up to you every day. Of all those people who serve in that children's ministry, and you don't maybe receive the kind of accolades that you deserve, but God sees it, and you're making a difference, and I thank you. I thank you for what you're doing. Picking up a piece of trash out in the yard, I may not see you do it, but God sees it, and I appreciate it. Me and the leadership of this church, we appreciate you. But the bottom line is, I'm not going to be able to thank you for everything that you do. Because I don't know everything that you do, but God knows. In your life, in your jobs, in your careers, when you're being faithful, when you're doing what you know you're supposed to be doing, living life for Christ, it seems like other people are maybe getting ahead of you when they are doing things unethical. They're getting ahead of you, and you're trying to do it the right way, and you feel behind. Let me tell you something. There's nothing like waking up on the next morning with a clear conscience. God is your defense. God is the one who's on your side. He's the one that will be with you, who will help you and get you through where you need to go. You know, another interesting thought dealing with monotony of life. This is sort of aside a little bit here, but I heard a minister say one time, he said, we tend to judge ourselves by the motives of our heart, but others by the actions of what they say. Let me say that again. We tend to judge ourselves based upon our motives of our heart. But other people, we immediately bring judgment about their actions or what they say. I think we should probably go to people and say, what did you mean by that? Did you, let's give some people some grace. But this monotony of going deep into our lives, having a heart for people. That's why Jesus said this, I believe. I believe he said these scriptures, because I believe he was speaking to people who had their heart was after God. John 14:13 says, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, so that my Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. I don't believe he just means that for any Tom, Dick, and Harry. I believe he means it for the person whose heart is wholly after Jesus, that he will answer that prayer. Because your heart, in his heart, what he cares about, you care about. Your motives are for his glory. And then when you ask under his anointing, under his will, his authority, then he will answer every prayer that you ask. But it's going to have to be in line with him. And if your heart, if you're a man or a woman who's after God's own heart, he's going to answer your prayers. He's going to answer some of your wants, some of your desires. He's going to do it, but he's going to take you through some obscurity moments. He's going to take you through some stuff to get you where you can be trusted with what he gives you. Mark chapter 11, truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted to him. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them and they will be granted to you. Again, I say, I believe it's for a man or woman whose heart is after God. You know, I look back on some things in my life and I don't really understand why certain things have happened to me. You know how you have certain things happen and you sort of go, I don't know what that was all about. You sort of want to go, I want to ask God about this when I die and go to heaven. So I started thinking about that. I'm going to ask the Lord, why did that have to happen? Of course, then I realized, the thought came to my mind, when you get to heaven, Eddie, you won't care what happened on earth. You know, I lost a son when he was almost 2 years old. I've never understood that. But I'm a better man because he lived. That's the only thing I can think of. I'm a better man because of it. What God did deep inside of me, But it took me through obscurity. It took me through deep, dark paths to get me through. And it radically changed me and Catherine. Changed our view of life. Changed our view of life entirely. But it took the wilderness experience. I was never the same after that. My pride had been broken. I was in a broken place I had never been in. And it changed me forever. And I pray to God that He'll use me for His kingdom. Because I know that I know that I know that when you go through the trial and you go through the tribulation, that this God is for you and He's not against you. And He will rise you up. And He will use you. I hope that the Lord can look at me and go, He's a man after God's own heart. But I don't know. Because the thought of it scares me. Because I don't know if I am. But I want to be. That's my goal in life. That He would look at me like He looked at David. Or that He would say, He's a man after my own heart. And if it takes me till I'm 99 with no tea, drinking sweet tea in my recliner, let it be. I just hope He says it to me before I die. Because when I go to heaven, like I said, I'll already be in glory land and I won't care. I'd have made it. A man and a woman after God's own heart, it's got to be deeply spiritual. They got to be genuinely humble. They got to be servants who walk in integrity, honest to the bone. Man, that's my goal in life. I hope that I'll get there. And I hope you'll get there. Let's get there together. Let's preach this gospel in this city. Let's see some people get saved. Let's break down racial barriers. Let's build Building Hope up and make it a glorious moment that can be an example to the society around us. Let's see God do some wonderful things this year as we go into the fall. Let's see college students get saved. Let's see teenagers have radically transformations of the heart. Let's see the gospel go forth and marriages restored and children saved and marriages saved. Let's just see a bunch of things happen this year as we go into the fall. I'm not here if I want to see lives trained. I'm not here for any other reason. I don't know what I'll do. I'll go sell, I don't know, whatever. I'll go sell hamburgers if I'm not about preaching the gospel and get people saved. You say, Eddie, I do sell hamburgers. Well, get some people saved where you're selling them at. Kingdom mentalities, y'all. Let's have a kingdom mentality this year. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You. That You are the King of kings and You are the Lord of lords. Thank You, Jesus. My heart and my passion is to one day be a man that You can look at and say, You're my man. You're a man after God's own heart. Pray that all of us would have that desire and that passion for the kingdom of God and for Jesus. Lord, You are King. You are Lord. Lord, we love You this morning. Have Your way in our lives. Have Your way in this church. As kids are going back to school and the college is opening up, Lord, have Your way in us individually and have Your way corporately. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. He's good. Isn't God good to us? God is good.